Someone mentioned, gave me a compliment and said that they enjoyed these little nuggets. And I thank you for that, someone, because I needed the encouragement. And I started looking around. I realized I haven't done one of these in 2 months. But I got one today. The first funeral I ever did was my dad's funeral. Do the toughest one first, I guess. He passed away, and while I was studying and praying and preparing a message for the Sunday service at our church on the Sunday before my dad's funeral, I wrote the following. Jesus had his eyes on the goal, the cross. Nothing could steer him in a different direction because he knew his calling from God. Forgetting what was behind, Jesus strained toward what he was ahead of him. He pressed on toward the goal to win the prize for which God had called him heavenward. As Jesus pressed on toward the goal, he looked beyond the cross. He looked past the cross. He looked beyond the cross to the victory and the prize that awaited him in heaven with God the Father, whom he loved. And Jesus gave us that example to live by, that we need to look beyond our trials and beyond the cross to what's ahead. And after I got that written, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he gave me a poem. Of course, he gave me a poem. Life is tough. The going is rough. The goal is the cross, where we'll suffer loss. Death to self and our foolish pride. Oh, the joy of the victory waits us on the other side. So don't give up when you're weary and worn. Though folks look at you with laughter and scorn. Jesus said, follow me, I am the way. You'll pass through the darkness of night, and you'll be wondering if you'll ever see the light. Follow me and don't give up the fight. When the morning sun breaks through, with outstretched arms, I'll be waiting for you, and you'll know that everything is all right.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that little ditty you sang, it's going to be all right. Isn't that neat? God wants that message to be known. That's good. Yes, Lorraine.
I always wait for the microphone. Even though I got low and annoying. So I've been told.
Anyway, I'm glad you guys don't think I'm annoying. But anyway, I do have one testimony, I guess. For the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been having a lot of pain in my torso, up, down, middle, side to side, and the only thing I could figure out was, this man that I'm taking care of acts like a little baby sometimes, and I hate to have to say that, but I had to take him to Dartmouth one day. And you go ahead and push a 400-pound man around in a wheelchair. Yeah. I said to him, I don't know how many more times I'm going to be able to do this. And he just said the most pathetic thing. I'm not even going to repeat it to you, but I told his daughter, and boy, I've got to tell you, that was the end of that. Thank God for Jennifer. She's a little fireball. But anyway, I've still been having issues, and I figured it just strained a hernia that I had repaired a couple years ago, really bad. So no more lifting for Lorraine. But the pains were just weird, and it was way up high, like I was having gallbladder problems. I went to the ER. They did an ultrasound. Nope, no problems there. So I was, then the pain shot way down on the right side, and I pressed there the other night, and I saw stars, and I thought, my gosh, this is my appendix. So back to the ER I went, and they did a CT scan. Nothing wrong. All my blood work is perfect, so I don't have a clue, but this phantom pain has got to go back to hell with Satan when he goes. And I'm just so thankful, because yesterday was when I went to the ER for that, and I thought for sure that I was going to have to stay there and have surgery. The pain was that bad. And you know how it is, like when you drive your car to the garage to have something fixed on it, and as soon as you get it there, it no longer makes that sound. As soon as I got in that ear, no pain. I just felt just wonderful. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Go ahead, punch my stomach all over. No pain there. Okay. Well, thank you, God. There's no pain there. I would also like to pray for my cousin, Mark. He's been having some issues. At first, he thought he was having hip problems. He's been to the doctor back and forth. They tell him it's not his hip. He has excruciating pain. He'll just wake up with it in the middle of the night. Feels like maybe nerve pain going up and down his leg. Nothing takes it away. He keeps going back and forth to the doctor. They can't figure it out. But I know Jesus has figured it out, and I would like to pray for him. If we could do that, please.
You want to lead us in prayer?
Do I?
Well, you have all the details. And you're good. I like the way you pray. You speak to things,
right,
and things happen.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Just raise up Mark to you today. He's doesn't make any difference, but he's such a good guy. And he does a lot for other people. And I know you love him. And you've already paid the price for his healing, Lord. And I just pray that whatever is causing this pain, we don't know, Lord, but you do. And I just pray the healing power of God would just come on that place, whatever it is, whatever the problem is, and just completely demolish it.
Amen.
Just completely dry it up, Lord, and kill it off. And I pray, Lord, that today, do we have us say this prayer, that he's going to start to feel 100% better.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Very good. I have a testimony. I have an opening scripture today. I didn't have it yesterday. Getting concerned. Where is it going to be? Who's going to bring it? And then voila. All of a sudden. And this was afterthoughts of yesterday. And all of the being the long 4th of July weekend, but I kept hearing these words, freedom, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, words from our early founding documents as a nation, and they're filled with the Word of God, the very godly documents. Don't get deceived when people talk about losing our democracy. America's never been a democracy. It's a constitutional republic where you have the authority to exercise it and use it wisely when you vote. A lot of countries don't have that. And they don't have a constitution that protects the people and not the government. It's very different. And in these conversations during these last few days, I got to thinking about the words they were using. And I just started thinking about those words, freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And I began to see how our early founding documents were written and came in agreement with God's Constitution. The word. And it prompted me to start looking up some of these words. Freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness, but it comes in the form of joy. So one after the other, these scriptures just started coming. I was familiar with a lot of them, but I hadn't really taken the time to put them all together. But late yesterday, I had enough to bring so that we can have enough to go for 3 or 4 weeks if need be. Probably won't, but and these are good. They're all in the NIV. And so a very commonly read translation, if you will. But as we read these, some of these now are going to become clearer to you. Not only do we see these scripturally, but we see it in our early founding documents of our nation. But God already implemented these things before that ever happened. So the first one is John chapter 8 and verse 36. Now I'll do a couple before Huggy break and maybe two or three more afterwards, but John 8:36. And it's written like this: So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. How many of you have been set free by the Son of God? Okay, so the others fall into the if part. So, you will be free indeed. This is a very foundational verse, and it captures the essence or the substance of true spiritual freedom in Christ. Jesus Christ offers not a temporary release, but a complete eternal liberation from sin, guilt, and spiritual bondage. Unlike human freedom, which comes and goes, which can be conditional or revoked, the freedom Christ gives is absolute. It is rooted in grace, sustained by truth, and giving believers a new identity and purpose in Him. So it's one of those verses that some of us learned pretty quickly after we were saved, even before we knew how to say something. Like in faith, in my case, and I like to use us because we're the only ones we know that that these things happened and we can talk about them very freely, is that drugs and alcohol went immediately upon confession of Christ as our Lord and Savior. That didn't drag into our faith, and so it never became an issue after we became believers. And that freedom that Christ offers, it may not be drugs and alcohol for a lot of people. A lot of people were wiser than we were. We made some really bad choices. And it was fun for a while. But after a while, those things get a hold of your life and they rob you of the beautiful life that you could have. Some people, it's harboring unforgiveness. It's harboring bitterness. It's holding on to stuff. And then you get saved. And instead of dumping it at the cross where you could be free, it gets carried over into our faith. And it hampers, it hinders our faith if we carry those things over. So getting rid of stuff like that is so important to do it quickly because it can fester. And you know what happens? It's like a pressure cooker, and all of a sudden that little thing on the lid stops popping and just blows, and then... So if the Son has set you free, and you're really free indeed, and it's a freedom unlike anything that we could even compare it with. We have a nation where we're free. But the founding fathers, if you read some of their writings after the Constitution, and they delivered this form of government that we have, they said it's a beautiful form of government if you can keep it. And it's like our faith. It takes working on it. It takes tightening up sometimes to hold fast to truths that we know. So even though we see that in our early documents, this is the document that supersedes all of that. But a lot of our government in the beginning started based on the Word of God. And sometimes it's nice just to forget the fireworks and start talking about on things that are meaningful, that affect every day and our quality of life every day. So I have another one. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 1, Galatians 5, 1. I like how the King James says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians who have bewitched you and put you back in the yoke of bondage," something to that effect. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And a yoke of slavery is anything that once held you bound or stuck and you couldn't get free from it, and then the Lord sets you free. You need to defend that. There are times when the enemy's going to try to get a foot in the door and try to pull us back into those things, but you got to stand fast, stand firm, and don't give in to it. Because now, with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, your new creations in Christ, don't let some of those things that could be cigarettes. A lot of people were addicted to cigarettes, might still be. And it held them bound for years and years and years and years and years. My parents and their generation, I can't tell you at the time growing up as kids in a house where both my dad and my stepmom smoked. The house was always filled with smoke. And I used to wake up in the night, I'd hear this click. And it was my father's flip-top lighter. He'd gag and hack for an hour and wake everybody up in the house, and then you'd hear the click, click. And he lived like that, and he died like that. Christ can break the power of that off of your life. There have been people that visited here over the years and decided they were going to quit smoking, that this was the day, this was their freedom day. So I would say, so what are you going to do about it? Well, I want you to pray and lay hands on me that I'll quit smoking. And I said, I can't prevent you from smoking. You have to make that decision on your own. You're a Christian now. But I'll flush them down the toilet if you give them to me. So we'd go downstairs. We didn't have the upstairs bathroom yet. And we'd go downstairs and flush some suckers down the bowl. Glub, glub, glub. Tidy bowl, man. Take care of this. Am I telling you? I'm not kidding. I'd watch them go out of the church. And wouldn't you know it, they had another pack stashed in the car. They were just playing games. We can't do that. Because they'll kill you if you let them. And I was really troubled by that, because sometimes people have a misunderstanding. I pray for a lot of people, but I can't fix them. I can't heal them. I can't deliver them. You have to come to that place where Christ has set you free, and that's the one that we need to focus on about freedom. Our troops, like our troops that go off to wars, they fight to protect our freedom, to keep us living in a free land. But as believers, it's deeper than that. We need to stand up for the one who's made us free, free in our spirit, and given us a new life, a hope, and a promise that nothing like this exists outside of the kingdom of God. You won't find it. In Paul's exhortation to the Galatians, emphasizes that Christ's freedom is not to be squandered. You know, that incident that happened in here, was basically an opportunity to really be free. And every time the urge would rise up, knowing they already had more in the car just in case it didn't work. You can't do that if you really want to be free, because Christ already died on the cross to make you free. And whatever's holding you back or holding you down, you can be free anytime you choose to be. It must be guarded from religious legalism, because this, if you read the rest of that chapter in Galatians, it was about those who were not born-again believers. They came in, and they were trying to put this baby-believing church, little baby believers, just starting out in their faith walk, and people were coming into the church and telling them, you're not born again because you're not keeping the law. You're not keeping the circumcision laws. You're not keeping the dietary laws and blah, 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 blah. And all that did was it kept that church crippled and bound from going forth, because they were being told, you're not saved if you're not doing this. You're not saved if you're not doing that. One of Faith's grandmas was a Seventh-day Adventist. Faith had a Bible, and her grandma prayed for her salvation. It's a letter she wrote. So after we got saved, we were so excited. We had to tell everybody. We told her grandma. Her grandma says, what church are you going to? Well, we're going to this believer's church. And what day do you go to church? Well, Sunday. You're going to hell. I said, oh my God. That's how easy it is. And it's all around us. Everybody puts their little spin on your freedom, trying to take a little piece of it, try to rob you of, this is really big. I bit off more than I can chew today, because even as I talk about it, examples pop up in my remembrance. And probably, has this triggered some memories with some of you as well? You've been told these things, you've seen these things. But what ultimately it comes down to, you have to stand up for you. You have to walk in your liberty, because Christ has already paid the price that you can. And don't let anybody put you back under bondage. Just because you don't keep the Ten Commandments anymore. Where does that in the New Covenant? Make a law out of it and put the church in bondage. Jesus done away with those. You need to read the book of Hebrews and refresh your thinking. He fulfilled them. In him is your freedom. In him is your righteousness. In him is everything that you are and ever will be for all eternity. And you gotta come back to square one. And a lot of these happened while I was cutting the grass yesterday. The mower knows what to do. But my mind can meditate on the word. And I like that. So he warned them, don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. How many of you have been to fairs? And I got a ringy dingy here. I am a ringy dingy sometimes. That's okay. Some of the fairs in the state of Vermont, there'll be farmers that bring a team of oxen or workhorses, and you'll see them yoked. And the neat thing that maybe some of you know, maybe some don't, is that with a team of oxen, and I saw this in India a lot, farmers would have water buffalo for work animals or oxen, and they would always team a strong, mature ox up with a weak, younger ox as a team. And so everywhere the strong one would go at the farmer's leading, if you will, the small one, younger one, would walk along beside him. And he learned to follow the farmer because he yoked up with the strong one. And it's the same with our faith. Didn't Jesus talk about the yoke? My burden is light, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let Jesus be the stronger one who comes along beside of you as a brother and sister in the faith, and walk with him. And you will learn how to follow him by watching others who've walked the walk and are walking their victories out, because Jesus is the one we're yoked to. And so don't let even the form of religion and all these man-made rules come back in, because you'll begin to question what you set out believing to start with. And you'll start straying. You'll start drifting. It's like your compass is not focused on J. There, I said that right. North, south, east, and west. But there's a J on our compass, isn't there? Amen? And so, a little bit more to this. Your freedom must be guarded from religious legalism, what I was talking about, the particular doctrine that had doomed us to hell because we didn't go to church on, what day was it? Oh, Saturday. We're supposed to go on Saturday, or you're going to hell. That's horrible to tell a new believer. I was shocked. I didn't want to go see her anymore, but I did. And it says, from religious legalism and the pull of sin. Because that's encouraging everybody to sin. That's a blatant mockery of the cross. And to tell other people those things, it's attacking your faith, it's attacking the work of the cross, and it's denying the power and the liberty and the freedom that you've been set free. And you don't have to do those things anymore. And you need to close off your ears to people that are trying to take you down a bad road. Stick with the gospel. It's good enough. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. It is what it is. It's the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Singular. No one comes to the Father but through him. It's not about keeping a certain day. We could meet on Tuesdays, and it wouldn't change our salvation one bit. Now, but if Rick and the board decides, hey, more people come on Tuesday than Sunday, let's make a new rule. Let's put it in our rules for fellowship, or whatever you call them. Statement of faith. You cannot be saved unless you come to church on Tuesday. Yeah, you're looking at me, aren't you? Because that's what's happened. Turn your ears off to that. Go with Jesus. Christ empowers us to stand firm in our faith. Liberated from both external constraints and internal fears. Fear you made the wrong choice, you'll never go wrong with Jesus. Your spirit bears witness. Did we not talk about this, Barbara, in our study in Romans downstairs? Some of you that have been coming. And our spirit bears witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, how did that happen? Because we got gold stars in Sunday school when we were kids or whatever? No, it's because of what Christ has already done. And so we got to come stick with basics. They work. And everywhere you go, you can go to a million other places. And what these truths are, our truths that will go with you, this word will work wherever you are, wherever you go, it'll work in your life. And you won't have to come up with any new formulas. Even if you're left-handed like me, the word of God, it still works and it's always right. Anyway, go give somebody a hug. It's huggy break.